chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity, say unity, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your holy and precious name. We give you and you alone. It's already yours, Lord. We just acknowledge that you are glorious, that you alone are worthy to be praised, that you deserve all the honor, and that you are good. Lord, as we look into your perfect law of liberty, your word that is forever settled in heaven, Lord, help our hearts and our minds to be open and receptive. Lord, help us not to hear from our opinions, but Lord, let us hear from the voice of your Spirit, O God, that we may discern, rightly discern your word of truth. God, help your servant to speak what you've so wonderfully laid upon our heart, but God, let your people, Lord, hear and receive and respond to your word, Father. Let us put it to a practice and a place in our lives. And Lord, for this, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. John Wesley said that many, many years ago. And that can only come as we walk in unity. That's what we want to look at this morning. Can you say that word with me tonight, this morning? Unity. The word unity here means oneness, a condition of harmony, being in one accord. Webster's defines unity as this, a condition of harmony. I like this definition, continuity without deviation or change in purpose or action. And I really like this definition, the quality or state of being made one. When Jesus ascended, he left a group of followers that were unified. And when he's coming back, when he comes back, and he's coming back, can you say amen? I believe he's coming back for a church that is unified. That's what he's looking for. God is a God of unity. And he expects you and I as his people to be people of what? Unity. When Christ was teaching his disciples to pray, he said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. In this manner, pray, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is perfect unity in heaven. But if God's perfect will is going to be done here on this earth, again, then we as his people must be people of unity for his will to be done on earth. Can you say amen? Jesus gave a very strong warning, but spoke a very strong truth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. I'm going to read that verse again. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Every kingdom, every city, every home, every nation, every church, if there is division in it, it cannot stand. If you need a reason to pray for America, that's reason enough right there. America, we have enjoyed the blessings of God to the fullest. We've got the best of the best that this world has to offer, but we are as divided as a nation as we can be. And the scripture Jesus said, and just because it's written 2,000 years ago, don't mean it's not going to stand today. Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Let me give you a sobering thought. Do you think God knew America was going to be here? Absolutely. There is not one reference in Revelation. There is not one reference in Revelation. You can't even find a symbolism in Revelation that even refers to America in the last days. This nation that is the greatest nation in the world is not even mentioned in the last days. Why? Could it be that our division is going to be the undoing of us? We're not being destroyed. We don't have to worry about Russia collusion. We don't have to worry about being destroyed from the outside. We don't have to worry about the nuclear weapons of North Korea or China. We are destroying ourselves from within. Jesus said a nation cannot stand like that. We need to stand. We need to pray for our nations. But let me tell you something. We need to pray for our homes as well. And we need to pray for our churches. Can you say amen? Let me get back to where I'm at. Isaiah and Luke, when speaking of Christ's government or kingdom, says, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Why? Jesus said in John chapter 10, he says, I and my Father are one. They are in perfect harmony. John wrote in 1 John 5:7, says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They are unified in heaven, and they are the unifier here on this earth. Can you say amen? You cannot have any unity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have any unity apart from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Paul in our text is exhorting and warning the church at Ephesus to hold on to their unity in two main areas: their relationship with Christ and their relationship with one another. Paul is giving them warning. Paul is speaking to them. He's encouraging them. But if you go all the way down a few years later, when John is on the Isle of Patmos and God gives him a revelation, the first church that the Lord speaks about is the church of what? Ephesus. And they had lost their what? Their first love. And because they had lost their first love, they were not being the unifying church that they needed to be. That's why we've got to guard the unity. Can you say amen? Paul, again, speaking to the church of Ephesus, they must guard, especially in two main areas. Number one, their relationship with Christ and their relationship with one another. We're just going to break this down in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, endeavoring. That word means laboring, working with diligence to make an effort. Unity does not just happen. It takes a concentrated effort from all parties involved. Endeavoring, working, laboring with diligence to make an effort. It takes all parties involved. And the main thing is that we be unified. Can you say amen? Endeavoring to keep. That word keep means to watch, to guard against loss or injury, to hold fast. As a body, we must take great care to guard the unity that we are blessed with. I'm going to say that again. As a body, we must watch and guard against the loss or injury. Hold fast. As a body, we must take great care to guard and keep the unity that we are blessed with. Endeavoring to keep the unity. Again, that's the oneness, the continuity of purpose and action. There is tremendous strength when we are unified with the right purpose. There is tremendous. Are y'all with me this morning? Harley can't even see you. I'm just excited about what God's doing here this morning. Can you say amen? There's tremendous strength when we are walking with Jesus in the center, with Jesus as Lord and Savior, not just Savior, but Lord. When we are unified in our purpose and in all the things we're going to talk about in just a minute, there is tremendous things, tremendous strength, tremendous things can happen when we are got our minds set on the Lord. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8 says this: five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. Five shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. Why? Because they're working together in unity with God's strength behind them. So many times we use these next couple of verses, especially in the marriage relationship, and it's powerful. but it can also be in relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, Ecclesiastes 4:9. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Endeavoring to keep the unity, there's strength in unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, and I've already said it, we cannot have true biblically based unity without the moving of the Holy Spirit, without the person of the Holy Spirit. The unity we as God's people enjoy is brought about and held in place by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's only as God's people yield to the power of the Spirit, not only in their lives, but also in the life of the church, it's only as we walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, can we enjoy the power of the unity of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me share a little commentary with you. The unity of the Spirit cannot be created by any human being. It already exists for those who have believed the truth and received Christ as the apostle proclaimed in chapter 1 through 3. The Ephesians are now to keep that unity not through human efforts or organization, but by living worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. Spiritual unity is maintained by being loyal to the truth of God's word and by keeping in step with the Spirit. It cannot be attained by works of the flesh. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. Say the word bond. I like that word. That means a joint, not the kind you smoke either. A joint. I'm going to tell you, the things that used to mean one thing mean a whole lot of different things now. I never thought I'd see the day when I'd have to, my vocabulary is of the old school. But I'm kind of glad for the old school vocabulary, amen. A bond is a joint, it's a tie, it's a uniting principle, it's a control, that which binds together. You and I as believers are joined by one source, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are joined by His love. We are joined by His blood. We are joined by His cross. We are joined by that resurrection power. We are joined by His promise of returning. We are joined by His word. When we as a bond, when we are bound together by Christ, unified by His Spirit, working and guarding the unity we have with the Lord as well as with one another, the next word will be the natural result. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word peace means one. Quietness, rest, joy. We will have peace with the Lord. We will have peace with one another. And we will have peace with ourselves so that we can concentrate on that which the Lord would have us to do. But in order to do that, we've got to have unity. We've got to have unity. Touch your neighbor and say, we've got to have unity. Four main areas of unity for the body of Christ. Four main areas for the unity of the body of Christ. Number one, we've got to be united in purpose. Not my purpose, but God's purpose. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. We are to seek His kingdom first, and everything else will be taken care of. See, I truly believe that God has a plan for every person that is born again. God has a plan for every church that has been established in order to accomplish His purpose. Can you say amen? What is the great overall plan? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations or people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. There is no limit to what God can do and will do through a body of believers that are united in His purpose as we walk in obedience to His word. There's no limit to what God can do. This is not a social club. This is not a user-friendly place. This is a Jesus-friendly place. And when we seek His kingdom, His will first, if we lift Him up, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Can you say amen? It's about lifting Him up and doing what He says and reaching out and touching others, not in our strength, but in His strength. Can you say amen? Nobody wants to come to a place where there's a bunch of fussing and fighting going on. Hello, this is not a boxing ring. This is not an MMA match. Hello. You might want to go there just for some entertainment. I don't know. I don't see how you can just get entertainment of two guys beating their heads together. Amen. Or women doing it now. Hello. Boy, they're champions. They look good, man. Their nose is cauliflower. Their ears are this big. Yeah, I was champion. I ain't got no teeth. I can't hear. I got brain damage, but I'm a champion. Hello. Bless God. That's why I like fishing. Be careful, because Marty's got a little scar. This has nothing to do with the message. Marty's a little puny. I caught Wayne the other day, right here on the side. I said, oh, okay, throw him back. I mean, anybody want to go fishing with Pastor Dawes? That hadn't had nothing to say with, to do with what I'm preaching on. Talking about being unified. Come on, somebody. Unity. We got to be united in His purpose as we walk in obedience to His word. United in His purpose. Number two, we got to be united in His power, the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the other ends of the earth. The church was birthed in Jerusalem when 120 believers were united in their purpose. They were there in one mind, in one accord. They were baptized with the power of the Spirit. That group of 120 turned into multitudes in just a short while. If we as a body of believers are united in the power of the Spirit, if we go forth in the power of the Spirit, if we walk in the power of the Spirit, if we operate our daily life in the power of the Spirit, if we are led by the Spirit, again, there is no limit to what God can and will do through that body of believers who are unified through the power of the Spirit. And He says, endeavoring to working at it to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. One of the problems with Pentecost, especially if you've been in Pentecost too long, is we become comfortable with the power of the Spirit. I pray at Ozark First Assembly, may we never become comfortable or satisfied with the way the Spirit's moving. Because I don't know about you, I want more of His Spirit. Because the Spirit, where the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there's souls getting saved, people getting healed, folks getting delivered, folks getting set free. Why? Because the Spirit is allowed to move to the glory of Jesus Christ. But there's got to be unity for that to happen. Can you say amen? There's no limit to what God can do. We've got to be unified in purpose and the power of the Spirit. Number three, this is where it gets interesting. In personalities, say personalities. We are unified by love. We have been joined together by the love of God and the blood of Christ. Jesus Himself said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. But guess what? You know, people say, I ain't gonna come to church, there's hypocrites. And you know what? They're in every church. You said, Brother Dawes, have we got some here? I don't know. Don't look at them. Hello? Don't point your finger at somebody else. It's five pointing back at you. Or three or whatever. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastors. There's no perfect boards. There's no perfect worship leaders. But somehow, in all our imperfection, we have got to be unified But it's not in our strength or our opinion or our talents or our abilities. It's being unified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? We've got to realize that nobody's perfect. We may not like the same things. We may go about things differently. We may have different talents and abilities or skill levels, but we are one in the body of Christ and we must have one another. God anoints unity. God anoints unity. If this was not up there, Sister Sylvia. In the book of Psalms, it says, how sweet and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said it's like the oil, the anointing oil that flowed down on the head, from the head of Aaron, that flowed down across his beard, all the way across his garments, all the way down to the very ends of his garments. When I was reading through that this week, as Moses was preparing the tabernacle, and as before Aaron and his sons could go in there, Aaron had to put on all those priestly garments, and I want to tell you, they were extremely valuable. He had to have that golden ephod on. Some of the clothing was literally woven with gold thread. All these things, it was extremely costly garment. But God says before he goes in there and says one prayer or does one thing, you've got to pour the holy anointing oil on him. And he didn't do like we did, just a little dab, do you? No, that wouldn't work for God and wouldn't work for Aaron and wouldn't work for Moses. So God told Moses, says, you take the whole bottle and you just pour it till it runs all over him. And it was symbolizing the complete anointing that God was putting upon Aaron and his priesthood. And God compared the unity of the brethren, how sweet and how pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. In other words, it goes from the head all the way to the feet. In other words, it covers every person involved. There is a tremendous anointing when God's people are unified. There's a covering and a blessing and an anointing that God covers his people with as we walk in unity. Can you say amen? Amen. My opinion and me have my way is not worth messing up the anointing of God. People wanting control. People wanting to have their say. They better think twice because they're messing with the anointing of God. They're messing with his body. But he says, man, when my folks get it right, there's nothing that can stand in the way. We need one another. Touch your neighbor and say, we need one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, red and yellow, black or white, they are precious in his sight. For in fact, that body is not one member, but many. If the one foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body that he, as he has pleased. That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, then all members are honored with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members individually. Yes, we are the body of Christ, but we are individually members. God is concerned with each and everything that is concerned with us individually. But he is also concerned when we are coming together as unified people in his body. Can you say amen? When we are united, when people are united in their personalities, great things can happen. One of the greatest examples was when people were united in their purpose and united for their own power. But they were trying to do it in their own strength. The Tower of Babel. They said, let us build a tower, let us build a tower, and we'll reach up to the heights of heaven, and we will become like God. And the Bible says in Genesis 11, 6, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have all one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. That's the power of unity, but they were had a misguided purpose because they wanted their own power. But what if, say what if God's people, with Jesus in the center, following the purpose and the plan of God, if misguided people could do that, what can God's people do? Can you say amen? Nothing will stand in our way. When people are united, if we would put that kind of unity with God's purpose and God's power in the center, nothing could stand in the way. United in purpose, united in the power of the Spirit, united in personalities. Number four, united in prayer. That is the key that brings everything together as well as holds everything in place. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 14. If my people, if who? Who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You've heard me say this many times. The answer is not in the White House. It's not in the State House. It's not in the local courthouse. It's in God's house. If his people, when we are called, who are called, if we will humble ourselves and turn from our wicked way, in other words, get rid of our junk and cry out to the God of heaven in one mind and one accord, nothing would be impossible. Matthew chapter 20, chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus said, again, I say that if two of you on earth agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Tremendous things happen when God's people come together and begin to pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. 20 tremendous things can happen when God's people are unified through prayer. Somebody said, Brother Doss, man, we've been having some tremendous services. God has been blessing. Sunday nights have been incredible. Wednesday nights have been awesome. If things are going on in the youth, Pastor Matt said, things are going on in back in children's church. What's happening? What's going on? Let me tell you, I need to remind you that through January, we were unified in purpose. We were unified in personalities. We were unified in power. We went through 21 days of prayer and fasting. What do you think is going to happen? God is going to keep his word. Can you say amen? But we don't need to just rest on what the past 21 days have done. I want to see more of it. Can you say amen? Therefore, we've got to stay united in prayer and believing God for greater things. Can you say amen? If you hadn't been around on Sunday night, I want to encourage you to come. Now, don't expect to get out at a certain time. Same way on Wednesday night. Folks have been getting healed. Folks have been getting delivered. We are seeing things happening off-site that are incredible. Sat with a family in another funeral home. We're working on a funeral service yesterday. And right in the middle, one of the children, who's an older child, begins to look at me. And all of a sudden, she's boo-hooing great tears, and the whole atmosphere changes. She says, you know, I'm backslidden, and I need to get saved. We're planning on a death. We're planning on to bury somebody, and she's talking about getting saved. I said, well, let's change gears. Let's go this way. When God's people pray, tremendous things can happen. I don't care if they get saved in a funeral home. I pray they get saved in the congressional house. Can you say amen? I don't care where. As long as they get saved, can you say amen? I even heard tell there was a fella that got saved on a hill outside of town when a big ruckus was going on while he was hanging on a cross one day. Can you say amen? God's doing tremendous things. He says, where two shall agree, it's touching anything. When we come to agreement in prayer, tremendous things can happen. Can you say amen? Only through the body of Christ being unified through prayer can we be unified and know God's purpose. Can we experience the power of His Spirit? Can our personalities line up with His personality? Can we be unified in prayer? Jesus prayed about unity. And I'm closing with this. Jesus said, talking to His Father, we call this His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, talking about us, that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one as We are one. I in them and You in Me, that they may be perfect in one. Again, that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. That's why we are to work to guard the unity within the body, so that the world may come to know the love of God and may come to His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of unity. United in purpose. United in the power of His Spirit. United in personalities. United in prayer. That by that, by our actions, others will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Father, we thank You and we pray.